We're blessed this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I really have enjoyed that good singing. Good worship, good spirit, Spirit of God in our midst this morning. If you got your Bibles, I want to read in the book of Job. I want to read chapter number 1 and part of chapter number 2. I'm not going to ask you to stand at all because I'm going to read quite a bit. And I'm going to try to follow the Lord. But I want to preach on this subject this morning, suffering the right way. This is tough. It's a tough subject. It's something that's really on my heart, and it's something that happened that I'll share with you here in just a little bit. But this is something that I feel like God spoke to me and said, tell them. But in the book of Job, there's certainly some suffering. But I want to start in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 1 and read a little bit about Job. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or avoided evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth or avoids evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou not blessed the works of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thou thine hand now. And touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. He hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now here we see that Job has lost everything that he had. All of his wealth, all of the greatness that he had. He was the greatest among the men of the east. all of his children, all of his daughters. And you go into the second chapter, and it says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered in the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and avoids evil and escheweth evil. And he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou move me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thou thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he, Job, took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Watch, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now folks, that's tough reading. You know, if we look at this scripture, truly, Job suffered. If you look at the scripture, there were two different times that God called Job's name out to the devil. I would never want God to call my name out to the devil. And as I look at this scripture, I handle this scripture very carefully and very respectfully. But you know, suffering is a part of life. We all suffer. All of us suffer. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Now I want to tell you, I don't like suffering. And I've got to the point that I'm getting to where I complain a good bit. My wife, she doesn't like to hear me complain. But I complain about the heat. I don't like the heat. Folks, the heat, literally, it makes me suffer. I suffer from the heat. I don't like the heat. I talk about looking forward to 35 degree weather and people look at me like I'm crazy. Amen. I'm suffering right now. Amen. And I'm praying for sleet. But I want to tell you something else. I don't like getting old. I'm just going to be honest. I don't like getting old. When I walk around here preparing before church, my knees kind of grind. And they pop. And I was talking to some of the men earlier, and I was talking about how I'm looking forward to the cold. I said, but I don't like it because my neck, it also grinds and pops. And when I go out there and I climb that tree and it's 30 degrees and I'm sitting there, I've got this hot hands that I tape with duct tape to the back of my neck. I have to, or my neck gets so stiff that I can't turn it. I don't like being old. I would like to feel 25 again, but I don't, and I won't. And sometimes I complain about it, and my wife, she gets tired of hearing me. She said, well, I'm not getting old. I'm tired of hearing it. But you know, we've been having a problem around our house. I mean, stuff coming up missing. Now, I'm not that old yet. But I don't know about you guys, but my wife moves my stuff. Amen. Yeah. I got a place on the dresser. It's right down here, and this is where my keys go. And I put all my stuff right there, my papers. I had a title right there. My old red 4Runner, she's so excited, it's for sale. We couldn't find the title. I said, you moved my title to my truck. She said, no. She said, you moved it. I said, no, I tell you right now, I put it either in the safe or right here. That's it. I don't put nothing nowhere else. You've moved it. Come on. Come on. And she said, well, look right here in this cabinet. If you look in this cabinet, you might find it. Or you need to look in that drawer over there. I said, I know. I either put it here or I'll put it here. Well, she got to searching because the last thing she wants is me to have an excuse not to sell old red. Well, she got to looking, and all of a sudden she come in there holding this manila folder, and inside of it, it had a title to one and a title, and it had a paper in it. And she said, guess where I found this? I said, oh, wherever you put it. And she said, I found it right there in that cabinet where you left it, and I just looked at her. And I tried to come up with a couple of different, you know, creative things to say, but the truth is I put it in there and I forgot. We got on that afternoon and I was balancing the checkbook and I was missing some receipts. I said, here you have done it again. I said, I need to get these bills paid and you didn't give me all these receipts. And, you know, and I was fussing. I was complaining. I said, here you have done it again. And she said, you better go look. And I sat there a minute and I thought, well, I don't want this to happen two times in a row. So I remembered I had some envelopes and I usually write the, you know, debits or Visa or whatever. And I went down there and I found them. And I said, honey. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, come on. She, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got through that one and then something else was missing. And I opened my mouth and you know what it is to get the look. The third time she gave me the look. And I realized, maybe my memory's not sharp as it used to be. Now, folks, we suffer in this flesh. You suffer in pain when the weather changes and you feel that barometric pressure. Any pain in your body, any broken bone, it begins to ache and it begins to yearn in that arthritis. It begins to come up on you. I can remember a time in my life that it just wasn't real. I thought, literally, I was invincible. I could jump off the top of the house and hit the ground and roll, and I could get up, and I could play football, and I could do all those things that now my kids laugh when I say I can do it. They already know better. You know, you're getting older when you're teaching your kids how to pick up their toys, and every time they bend over, they grunt. We suffer. You see, the truth is we're suffering every day. And I can remember I was in a youth group and I was just preaching to the youth over at Macklin several years ago. And I went up there and I began to try to get them to understand that this life is temporal. And I simply had them look at the back of their hand and then I had them look at mine. To understand that in this body, in this flesh, we're suffering, we're changing every day. See, suffering is real, suffering hurts. This past week, I was sitting at La Paria. I go there about once every other week, and you can get the $6.99 lunch with your drink. And I was sitting there, and I always take in my satchel, and I study every day at lunch, and I'm not with a customer. And a lady came up to me, and she said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, I am. And all of a sudden, she began to open up to me, and she began to talk to me. And she had a little picture right here. And she told me, she said, I go to, and she told me the name of her church. And she said, this is my little girl. And she said, she's 16 years old, but she's gone to live with Jesus. She said, she passed away in February. She said, she had cancer, and, you know, she got it when she was just a little girl, and we fought it for years, but it, you know, just wasn't in God's plan for her to be able to stay with us. She said, but every month I find something that I can do to try to help somebody. Something that I can do to try to help somebody that's hurting. And as I began to minister, to listen to her, you know, and she asked me if I was a pastor, she was ministering to me. And it was right in line with what God had put in my heart as I began to sit there and think, I want to tell you something. You're going to suffer in this life, but it makes a difference how you respond to it. And as she stood there before me and she witnessed, she wasn't mad at God. She didn't hate God. She wasn't ready to quit on God. She recognized that her daughter was with the Lord. And I began to think about this scripture and what God had put in my heart. And my heart was burning, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I tried my best to come up with something else to preach this morning. I tried my best to come up with something else, but I heard something this past week that just drilled into my heart so much that God said, tell them. I heard a person just this past week. This is what drilled this in my heart. This person is a Christian. This person claims to be saved by the grace of God. But this person's suffering. They're suffering in body, and they're suffering because they cannot do the things that they used to do. And you know what they said? They said, if it what it wasn't for, and they called out the name of a loved one, they said, if it wasn't for my love for them, I would just take my life and leave here. And as I listened to that and I thought about it, and folks, it's becoming more and more common today. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. But I want you to understand something. When you do that, you absolutely take every bit of the glory that belongs to God and you flush it away, and God gets no glory from your life. Because the greatest glory you can ever give God is to learn how to suffer the right way. I heard a great preacher say that adversity makes men, but prosperity makes monsters. When you study this book of Job and you begin to see the things that happened in his life, I honestly, I'm going to tell you, I'd never want the Lord to call my name out to the devil. But whatever I'm going through, I want to give God the honor and glory for it, because ultimately that is why we are on this earth, is to bring honor and glory to his name. Now I want us to look at some suffering, and I want to think about it for just a moment. One is there's suffering that's self-inflicted. Now, I want to tell you, there's way too much of this today. It's suffering as a result of your sin. And I want to tell you something this morning. There are times in our lives that we suffer as a result of our sin, and the last thing we want to start doing is blaming God and blaming somebody else. I mean, if you're putting things in your body that are hurting you, you need to realize what you're doing to yourself. If you're suffering as a result of your sin, here's what I want you to understand. Life has enough suffering in it without you doing it to yourself. And when this happens to us, if we don't ever realize it, guess what's going to happen? It'll just get worse, and it'll keep getting worse, and it'll keep getting worse. And because you're suffering as a result of your sin, people around you are also suffering. You're causing other people to suffer. Be careful not to blame God for self-inflicted pains. So there's suffering that's self-inflicted. There's also suffering that is the result of the curse. You know, down there where I work, we have a safety policy. And they believe that everything is preventable. I can't tell you the times that I've sat in those meetings, and I just want to look at them and say, what about the curse? What about the curse? See, we had an incident a few years ago where a man was sitting something down that weighed about 20 pounds, and he extended his left arm, and his bicep tore loose at his elbow and curled up like a macaroni noodle in his arm. And I tried to write up a report. I said, I don't have anything to write other than the curse. You see, because if we look at what the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 17, it says, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. It says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You know, I said earlier, I don't like getting old. But I heard a preacher, he was talking to another preacher. And you know, when you live your life serving God, the truth is that's all you really want to do. That ought to be the desire of our hearts, to be what God wants us to be. But I heard a preacher, he was talking to another preacher, and he was talking about going off and preaching a revival up in the mountains. And the preacher that he was talking to was a man way up in his years, way up past to the point to where he struggled even to get up and make it to a church service. And he said to this other preacher, he said, I would love to go with you. He said, I'd love to go up there. I'd love to be a part of that service. He said, but I'm dead. Now, some of you understand what I'm talking about. It's when you get up and you cannot do the things that you used to do. When it's a chore even to walk to the mailbox. We had people come to our house right after we first bought it, and they said, I just want to tell you right now, y'all will be okay with these stairs while you're young. But when you get older, you're going to wish everything was on one level. And if we look at our lives and our bodies, we're cursed. That's why my hand doesn't look like your hand, Parker. That's why the truth is, you know, the Bible does say that exercise profiteth a little. There's a verse for y'all, you know. And I told my wife, I said, what good does it do to exercise and lose weight if your shape never changes? Right. That's kind of the way I am. That's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, because the truth is, because of the curse, there comes a time when there's just only so much you can do. But if you look at it, we're suffering as a result of the curse. We're getting old. Our lives and our bodies, they're changing. I've heard some people, they say, well, I'm not getting old. Well, yes, you are. You just hadn't accepted it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the legs, and the strong men shall bow themselves, the arms. And when the grinders cease, which is the teeth. It says, and the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. That's the eyes. That's when you can no longer see what you used to see. You can no longer chew what you used to chew. You can no longer lift what you used to lift. And you can no longer walk where you used to walk. Now we listen to these scriptures and we understand them. And folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's some suffering completely different than what Job experienced. But it's still suffering. Then there's suffering resulting from adversity. You get into the book of Job in chapter 3 in verse number 25. Here's what Job said. He said, the thing which I feared most hath come upon me. You see, if you look at his life, there was a loss of substance. And a lot of people have experienced that. There was a loss of prominence. And sometimes that's more important to people than the loss of their stuff or their family. It's a loss of position. So that when people look at them, they don't look at them as greatly as they used to look at them. And then there was the loss of family. That's the loss of loved ones. If we understand this scripture and we understand the suffering and the loss that Job experienced, you know, I remember as I was standing there speaking to that lady and she was smiling and telling me about her daughter and telling me her daughter's name, and I shared with her. I said, you know, I lost a little sister when she was 3 years old to cancer also. And it began to run through my mind the things that I've experienced being a Christian and serving God. I want to tell you, we suffer loss just like the world. Can I tell you, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You're going to face things in life that you don't want to face. You're going to go through situations you don't want to go through. The question is, are you going to walk through them with God or without God? As I begin to look at this scripture and I think about Job, I thought, how is it that we're supposed to suffer the right way? When I hear people say, well, things are just not going like I want them to go, so I think I'll just leave here. You're not suffering the right way. The first thing that Job did in the book of Job in chapter number 1, verse 20 and 22, when they came to Job and they told him that everything that he had was gone. They told him that his substance was gone. Everything. And then they told him that his children was gone. In verse number 20 through 22, the scripture says that Job fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Now here's what I want us to see and understand. Job didn't quit on God. When you suffer, quitting on God is the absolute wrong thing to do. He did not walk away from his life source. You see, walking away from God and from church is going in the wrong direction. He worshiped. And worship is more than a church service. And I appreciate what Miss Mandy said as she got up here and she began to sing that song. If you don't ever have times at home that you're walking around in your house and you're worshiping and you're praising God, if you don't ever have times, and you know, Brother Terry and I have talked about this, you know, sitting in that blind and looking out across there, it's like that picture they had just a minute ago of that mountain scene, and I began to look at it and I walked up to it real close and I said, somebody took that picture. That's a picture. And then I begin to think, look what God created. If you don't ever have a time in your life that you see a sunrise or a sunset, or you're sitting somewhere that you just begin to look at the greatness of God, and you have a time that is just between you and it's between you and Him, there's probably something missing in your life. Because folks, worship is not about sitting through a service once a week. Worship is about having a relationship with the living God and communing and talking to Him. Because worship is a direct connection to God. You see, if you're going to have your life in order, God has to be first. If you're going to have a good marriage, God's got to be first. I've told these young people, especially those that are falling in love, you're in love today. But you're going to have a bad day at work, and somebody's going to cut you off, and you're going to come home, and her hair's going to be in curlers, and dishes are going to be in the sink, and there's not going to be any dinner, and that infatuation feeling is not going to be there. If God is not first in your life, you're going to come to the point that you're going to make bad decisions. God has got to be first in your life. Same thing in church. Well, I like going to church. They treat me so good down there. They shake my hand. They're kind. They love me. Well, what if they don't speak to you one morning? You're going to go home and say, well, they didn't even shake my hand this morning. If you don't have a right relationship with God, you're going to get your feelings hurt sooner or later, and you're going to quit. We don't come down here because, and we do care for each other. This is the family of God. You come to the house of the Lord and you serve Him and you love God's people first because He loved them. You see, Job's relationship with God was such that God was first. That's the only place that God will accept in your life. It's first place. If you look at Job chapter 2, in verse number 9 and verse number 10, the next thing that Job did is Job retained his integrity. You see, he lost everything that he had, but then his body. What'd the devil say? Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. I begin to think about that scripture, and I couldn't help but think, if you're loving your wife and your kids the right way, they ought to be more important than your own life. And I believe that was so in Job's life. I think the devil's a liar and he doesn't even have understanding about everything. But if we look at this scripture, what did Job do? He told his wife, he said, you talk like a foolish woman. He said, I will not curse God and die. But Job retained his integrity. That means he remained faithful. Sometimes people use their problem as an excuse to be unfaithful. I can't tell you the times that I've counseled with young people, that I've counseled with older people, and I've heard this from young people. They say, you know, I'm trying to do what's right, and my parents keep accusing me of doing the wrong thing. I might as well just do it. That's a lie. That's basically what the devil wanted to happen in Job's life. Look at all this. You're trying to do the right thing, and look at what's happening. You might as well just give in. I've talked to adults, counseled them, worked with them, and they say, you know, I've tried to do what's right, but my spouse is doing this and they're doing this. I might as well just go off and do the same thing. No. Scripture says here that Job retained his integrity. He remained faithful. You do not use your problem as an excuse. You see, a lot of times what happens in people's lives, if the house burns down or there's trouble or there's heartache, they go on a sin binge. They go right back to the bottle, or they go right back to the drugs, or they go right back to the bar, or they go back to the darkness that God brought them out of and say, well, I might as well just go ahead. But Job didn't do that. What Job did was he held to the truths that caused God to call his name out to the devil. You ever thought about that? What caused God to call Job's name out to the devil? I recently heard a story of a preacher. It was a preacher was come to preach a revival, and I was there, and he was talking about his dad, and his dad was a great man of God. And he asked prayer for his dad, and his dad had come down with some type of very serious illness. And you know what people do? This is what we do. They say, well, he's such a man of God. Why him? Why did it have to happen to the preacher? You know, he's such a good man of God, and he serves God so faithfully. Why him? And all the people were talking, and all the people were saying these things, and this man, this pastor, he heard them. And you know what he said? He said, why not me? Why not me? And here's the difference, and here's what's important. When we suffer the right way, God gets tremendous glory from our lives. Remember in Job 1:8, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there's none like him in all the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Job retained his integrity. Now, folks, I've seen men of God serve God right up to the time that God calls them out of this walks of life. I can remember my dad was disabled at 49 years old with emphysema, and he wanted to serve God so bad that he was pastoring a little church, and they were working on the church down in Mableton, and he would go down there on Saturday, and they would get a straight back chair, and he would sit in it out in the yard while they worked and just watch them, because he wanted to be involved, and he wanted to do, and the greatest thing a man that is the right kind of man's ever going to deal with is not being in control and not being able to get up and go work when he wants to. See, a man that's a man is not going to lay home and live off of his mother-in-law or his dad-in-law. He's going to get out and get a job, and if he needs to, he'll get two jobs. My dad was not only a man's man, but he was a man of God. And if you're not that kind of man, this message may not be for you. But if you are that kind of man, you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what it's going to be like. But I want to tell you, there might come a time in your life that you got to surrender to God in the midst of your trouble. And I saw my dad go through that, and I can remember being times that I would go over there to see my dad, and he would be in the kitchen, and he'd want everybody out of the kitchen because he had emphysema and he was having a panic attack. Because he could not breathe, he would stand up and hold on to the back of a chair, and everybody would have to leave the room until he was able to get his breath, and we'd come back in. But I can remember, you know what I learned from him? He never blamed God. He never cursed God. He never quit on God. But when we'd sat down and talk to him, all he had to say was how faithful God was. The last time he was able to sit up on the side of the bed, he took the Bible and he called my brothers and sisters in, and he sat down from the Word of God and he taught them a lesson. And when he passed away, I went over in the corner of the room there that was his room, and there was a coffee can. And inside that coffee can, there was money that my dad had put in there every week. And there was a little label at the top of the can. It said, this is God's money. He couldn't go to church and give it to him, but I want to tell you something, he was still faithful. You'll never bring glory to God the way you're supposed to if you're always looking at yourself saying, I want a way out, I want to quit, I'm going to give up. I tell you what you do, you learn to suffer the right way. Job suffered the right way. What else did Job do? The last thing Job did was Job prayed for his friends. Now, what do others do when you're suffering? I've seen it. Sometimes when you're suffering, people come by and they say things like this. You know, Job had some friends. The kind of friends that Job had is not the kind of friend you and I need to be. Can I tell you, God has not called me to be His police. God has not called me to be His judge. All I'm supposed to do is deliver you the Word of God the way that God gives it to me, and that's all. And then do my very best to love you and help you to get back into a right relationship with Him. But have you ever seen a time when somebody would be suffering and somebody would come by and they'd say, "Well, I don't know what you did, but you must have done something. Because if you didn't do something, God wouldn't have let this happen to you." You don't want to bring a curse of Gehazi on yourself by saying something like that. I can remember when my little sister was sick. My mother told me this story. My dad was pastoring the church. I think he was about 27 years old. Lived next door to the church. And I had a little sister that had a tumor on her face that was as big as a grapefruit. In the prayer that my mother had, she said, "I prayed that God would never let me see my daughter's teeth through the side of her face." God answered that prayer. But my little sister Wendy passed away when she was 3 years old. But there was a time somebody come and said, "Well, I just want to see that little girl. I want to see her." "Well, no, we don't. No. And people send letters and they say, "Well, you know, Pastor, he must have done something. He did something." We had some friends when we were over here at the other church that had a little girl that was sick and she had to have a transplant, and people were sending letters to her house saying, "I know y'all did something or God wouldn't allow that to happen to your daughter." That's the kind of friends Job had. That's the kind of people you've had experience in your life. That's why that right now there's people that are saved by the grace of God that need to be in church are at home and not serving God today, because somebody that was not right with God went thinking they were representing God and spoke to them. Amen. Well, what did Job do? He prayed for them. Because what do others do? They often judge wrongfully. But I'll tell you something they're always doing. They're always watching. When we go through things, when I go through things, my children are watching. It's amazing how that now at the age that I am, I can remember little things that happened when I was a kid. And it always seems to be something that will either take me down the right path or the wrong path. So your life is an influence to somebody. It's just how are you influencing them? Others are watching. Others are impacted. See, the scripture says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Folks, he gave him 10 more children. And he gave him back twice as much substance. But I want you to understand something. Job has already died and gone to be with the Lord thousands of years ago. This is a very old book, the book of Job. Some say it's even the oldest book in the Bible. I don't know. But God blessed him. I don't think it's nowhere near as great as Job. Because the scripture says that there was none. What did the Lord say? They said there's none like him. Well, what about you? What about me and what about our suffering? Because here's what I want us to understand, why we should suffer the right way, and I'll try to get done. We should suffer the right way to bring honor and glory to God. Bring honor and glory to God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And then in 1 Peter 4, 1 again it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise that the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Remember Stephen Curry, the missionary that was here. He told the story of converting a young Arab boy who was an Arab, and he converted him to Christianity. He led him to the Lord. In other words, he prayed and he accepted Christ. This Arab boy's family got together. And they met Stephen Curry out on the road, and they took sticks and they took chains and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. He said his prayer to God over and over was, God, if you'll just let me get through this, I'll serve you more and I'll serve you more and I'll serve you more. You see, our ultimate goal, the greatest goal that we have, is to bring glory to God. And I want you to understand something when it comes to spiritual gifts. There are those who believe that the greatest spiritual gift a person could receive is to be martyred for Christ. Now, I've listened to that and I've thought about it, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't like it. So I just, that's what I do. You know, sometimes when God shows me things, I say, Lord, I don't like that. He said, somebody needs to be told to learn how to suffer the right way. I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago. I had to preach a funeral. And a lady came up to me after the funeral. And she wanted to talk to me. And this is what she said. She said, you know, I lost my daughter. She was 22 years old. And while she was pregnant, and she was pregnant with twin boys, two little boys. While she was pregnant, they found out she had cancer. And because she loved those boys, and it was pretty aggressive, and they told her that she needed to do something, but she wouldn't because of the babies. The babies were born, but it had gone too far, and it really was a very short time. And she said, this lady, she told me, she said, you know, I've been in church my whole life. My husband was a preacher. She said, and I was hurting so bad, I did not even want people to know the pain that was going on inside of me. She said, so I went to a pastor at a church that nobody knew me. She said, because I knew God, and my testimony was important, and I was afraid if I told people how bad I was hurting, that it would hurt somebody else. She said, but I went to this pastor, and he told me what I needed to do. He told me that I need to keep coming to church. That I need to keep sitting on the bench. That I need to keep praying. That I need to keep seeking God. And this is what she said he told me. She said he told me that when I was ready, that God's grace would start to fill me. You see, over in the 23rd chapter of Job, Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, I would present my arguments before him. He said, I would plead my cause. And then he said, would he plead against me with his great power? He said, but no. He would put strength in me. And what this lady said to me that her preacher friend told her was exactly the same thing. When you come before the Lord, remember in the 103rd Psalm, he said he remembereth our frame. He knoweth that we are but dust. When you come before him and you present your arguments, I want to tell you something. You stay close to him. You don't walk away from him. You don't allow the devil to get glory. Here's what we're supposed to do. The reason we're supposed to stand is to make a liar out of the devil. Amen. So what did Job do? He made a liar out of the devil. See, the devil said twice, if you touch him, he'll curse you. You touch his body, he'll curse you. Our job is to make a liar out of the devil. Our job is to bring glory to God. And I want you to understand something. How we suffer matters. We got a song that we want them to play, and I want you to rise to your feet. If you want to pray, would you please come and just talk to God? You know, sometimes what you got to do is just come. Like Job said over here in the 23rd chapter. He said, I would order my cause before him. And I'd fill my mouth with arguments. And when you're ready, he fills you with his grace. If God spoke to you, this is your opportunity to pray as they sing a song.
God loves a lullaby in a mother's tears in the dead of night, better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves a drunkard's cry, the soldier's plea not to let him die, better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries, God just hears a melody.
Surrender don't come natural. Peace.